رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي واللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله واللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر آمين يا رب العالمين ثم أما بعد Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah of the Qur'an, most of it was revealed in the early part of the Prophet's migration to Medina, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so the Muslim community for the first time is not under the pressure of being destroyed by a larger population. They're not a small minority, now they're a significant population and they're an independent community, pretty much. And even though there's the threat of the Quraysh, the people of Mecca coming and attacking at any time, and still they're working out their negotiations with the Christian and Jewish communities that live in the city of Medina. At this time, Allah Azza wa Jal decreed that He would reveal introductory laws, like early principles that can help the community get by. And a lot of these laws, later on Allah would give the tatimma of them, the completion of them, the perfection of them. But the early stages of them were revealed in Surah An-Nisa. So this is a Muslim community that is beginning to mature. It's beginning to come together. And so Allah saw it fit that at this time, there are certain ethics and certain principles, certain morals that they should be very careful about. So the surah is not just about laws, but it's especially about the kinds of ways people should be dealing with each other. One of the things I want to highlight before I talk about the one ayah from the surah that is the subject of this khutbah is that in this surah, Allah went out of His way, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to highlight people that otherwise get ignored in society. People that don't have any economic power, they don't have any political position, they don't have any social standing, and they're almost invisible in society. Allah made sure that as a Muslim community, we take care of those people first. And that's why from the very beginning, you know, وَآتُ الْيَتَامَى. So you get straight to, even though it's called Surah An-Nisa, you go straight into the subject matter of the orphans. And then you get into the subject matter of orphaned girls and what you should do with them. And so time after time after time in this surah, Allah Azza wa Jalla highlights the rare cases of people that may be oppressed or left behind or deprived in some way in the society. Now the ayah that I want to talk to you about, first I won't tell you how this is connected to the larger subject of the surah, but certainly one of the most incredible pieces of wisdom that Allah gave to the Muslims to be able to deal with each other and produce a healthy functioning community. And it's seriously something not talked about enough, this ayah, and what it contains is a subject that isn't talked about enough because we don't think it has to do with spirituality. We don't think it has to do with, you know, for example, ibadah or worship, or like the month of Ramadan is coming, we're all in a certain zone and getting ourselves mentally prepared. But rather, this actually has more to do with the way we do business with each other. The way we talk to each other, the way we interact with one another. So I'll give you a rough translation of the ayah first. مَنْ يَشْفَعْ شَفَاعَةً حَسَنَةً. Whoever would make, I'll put it in easy English, whoever makes a good recommendation. We'll start with a base translation first. Whoever makes a good recommendation or makes a good case for somebody. Allah says, يَكُلْ لَهُ نَصِيبٌ مِّنْهَا. He's going to have a portion from it. And I'll explain what that means in a second, but let's go through the translation of the ayah first. وَمَنْ يَشْفَعْ شَفَاعَةً سَيِّئَةً. And whoever makes a bad recommendation, an ugly recommendation, يَكُلْ لَهُ كِفْلٌ مِّنْهَا. He's going to have a portion from it as well. And then Allah says, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقِيتًا. Again, a very shallow translation would mean that Allah has always been empowering over all things. Allah enables the strength to all things. No creature and no thing in the earth or in existence ever has any power except that Allah gives it its power. That's part of the meaning of the word مُقِيتًا. But now let's go back a little bit. The first thing was whoever gives a good recommendation. First of all, let's understand what the word شَفَاعَة means. الْوِسَاطَةُ فِي إِصَالِ الْخَيْرِ أَوْ دَفْعِ الشَّرِ. They say in Arabic, when you say something that will help somebody get something good, or it will remove harm from someone. So for example, if you call someone and say, hey man, I was just on the 635, traffic is horrible. Don't take the 635. You just made a shafa'a for them, you recommended something to them that warded harm from them. You saved them a lot of trouble, and they took some other exit or something. That's a small example of just a shafa'a hasana. Shafa'a hasana could be somebody's looking for a job. And you call a friend of yours and say, I know this guy, he's a good person, I think you should consider him for a job. This is a shafa'a hasana. You paved the road of something good for somebody else. Either you blocked some harm from someone, or you opened the door for good for someone, and this is a recommendation. Now this is actually not the meaning of shafa'a hasana, this is actually just the meaning of the Arabic word shafa'a. Just shafa'ah. Shafa'ah means you come on somebody's behalf and you make a case for them. Or you go to somebody and say, I want to save you some trouble. You know, I want to save you some trouble. Another, like a direct example of shafa'ah could be somebody's about to get fired because they were late to work. Right? And you saw what happened. You saw that they were pulled into some other department meeting and they weren't actually late. And they're not even being given a chance to explain. They're just fired. So you come in and say, actually, they're not late. I saw them come in early. But they were pulled into this other meeting. This thing happened, that thing happened. You explain on their behalf. And now you kept this person from losing their job. Because you saved them, because you testified on their behalf. This is also a kind of shafa'ah. But the thing about recommendations and putting in a good word and using connections, because those of you that are in the job market, you know, you can post your resume online, but that only goes so far. Until you have connections and somebody recommends you to somebody, and then somebody gives you a call and says, hey, I heard about you, why don't you come in for an interview? When it comes to jobs, when it comes to marriages, when it comes to business agreements, we all go by recommendations. We rely on that in society. And you especially trust the recommendations of people that are close to you. And so even things like, you know, if you used to be a student of mine, and you've graduated already, and now you're going into a university, you say, could you write me a recommendation letter? That's also a shafa'ah. Or people leave a job, and they go into a new job, and they say, could I put you as a reference? Right, the previous employer, could I put you as a reference? That's also a shafa'ah. But the problem is, Allah didn't just say shafa'a. He said shafa'a hasana. All of the meanings that I've just given to you, ma yadullu illa ala al-khayr. They don't give any other meaning except when you're trying to help somebody. Either you're trying to save them from harm, or you're trying to give them something good. That's all you're trying to do. And it's a selfless thing. It actually is not for you, it's for someone else. Shafa'a is not supposed to benefit you, it's supposed to benefit somebody else. But then what does Allah do in the Quran that's unique? He actually gives it two qualifications, hasana and sayyi'ah. Shafa'atan hasana and shafa'atan sayyi'ah. Which is unusual, because like Ibn Ashur rahimahullah in his tafsir says, لا يدل على شر. فالقرآن يخالف العادة في استعمال العرب. The Quran said something unusual when it said shafa'atan sayyi'ah, a bad recommendation. So now we need to go back and redefine, because to Allah, just any recommendation is not enough. It either has to be something good or something bad. So let's go back again. When somebody's not qualified for a job, and you recommend them anyway because they're your cousin, and you're not honest about exactly what their shortcomings are, and you say, this is a good person, just give them a job, hook it up. Set this up. Let me use my connection. I got this. And you actually, even though you benefited this cousin of yours, or this nephew of yours, or whoever else, or this friend of yours, this is actually not a shafa'a hasana. It's not a good recommendation, because it's not based on truth. It's not based on honesty. When you're going to do good for someone, it has to be based on honesty. A student of mine who had failed my class a long time ago asked me to write him a recommendation letter for a university. I said, I can't do it. But Ustad, I studied with you. I said, yeah, you did. That's why I can't. You didn't show up for any classes. When you did, you were sleeping. You failed every exam I ever gave you. What am I supposed to recommend? Do you want me to lie? No, Ustad, just we're Muslims. Muslims help each other. You know, what about the Brotherhood of Islam? The Brotherhood of Islam is that we are honest with each other. The fact is, our relationship with each other, like the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, Al-Muslimu mir'atul Muslim, the believer is the mirror of another believer. We're called a mirror to each other. When you look in the mirror, if you're dirty, you're going to see something dirty. And when you're dirty, you're not going to see something clean. If you're wearing wrinkled clothes, you're not going to see ironed clothes in the mirror. You're going to see what it is. So when you honestly recommend someone, when you honestly say good things about someone, that is shafa'a hasana. And when you're saying good things about someone, but they don't deserve them, you're making it up. And this actually, it has many ramifications. Like for example, sometimes, you know, because of, you know, people know me, a few people know me, so they say, could you please recommend our organization or our project so people can donate to our project? I say, I don't know your project. I simply don't know. I don't know how the accounting works in your project. I don't know how long it's been around. I don't know what work you've done. I can't recommend. No, why don't you investigate our project? Ya Allah, if I start investigating your project and become an auditor, then invest the next project, investigate the next project, then that's all I'll be doing. But you know, I wouldn't just recommend something without knowing it first, without understanding it internally first, so without having experienced it first. I personally, you know, companies run Hajj groups, right? If I haven't used that group, I can't recommend them. I haven't done Hajj with them. I don't know what it's like. And even actually in my position, it's even more difficult, because even if I did go to Hajj with them, maybe they treated me differently, because then I'll be recommending later. And other people who came will be treated differently. I have to be careful, because it's a public responsibility. So the idea of recommending things, you have to understand consequences of putting a good word for someone and putting a bad word for someone. That is not to say you dismiss other good deeds or other good works. You don't say, well, I don't know about those guys. Because even in English, when you say, I don't know about them, it's like saying they're pretty messed up. Right? So you have to carefully just either not say anything, or say, you know, I'm sure it's a good cause. I need to know more about it, though. I don't know enough about it. There's good ways of saying things, and there's good ways to indicate that you don't know enough. And there's bad ways of doing it too. So we have to be intelligent in the way that we speak about people, in the way we speak about organizations, in the way we speak about businesses. Of course, shafa'a is something very common now in society. Every product you buy on Amazon.com has a star rating, and people are doing shafa'a under it, isn't it? And every company has a review on Google, right? Every restaurant, and then, you know, this Muslims forget these principles or Quran's principles. You have a halal restaurant, and 1 mile down the road, there's another halal restaurant. This guy's selling burgers. He says, well, you know what? I'm going to sell burgers too. I'll take half his sales away. That's a good idea. And then he will make fake reviews of this guy's restaurant online and say, don't eat there. They have roaches in their burger and this and that. So his sales can go. This is shafa'a sayyi'ah. You know, you're destroying somebody else's risk. You're doing that. This is shafa'a sayyi'ah. So there's shafa'a hasana and shafa'a sayyi'ah. Now, the flip side of this is also true. When somebody does deserve a good recommendation, when somebody does deserve a good word from you, then give it to them. Don't be cheap with it. If somebody did approach and say, well, you know, and I've seen this happen and I'm shocked at this. I'm actually shocked at this, how feeble-minded and how narrow-minded people can become. You have somebody who is, you know, who, like, because I'm from Pakistan, I give a Pakistani example. You have people that went to medical school in Pakistan. And they graduated and they came here and they had a hard time at first. They did their USMLEs and they became physicians and now they're very successful. And now there are other young students that are trying to get into med school, or they're looking for recommendations and they're looking for these people that have already made it in their career. And they see, they could recommend and they purposely don't recommend. Like, you know, one day he'll be competition. This is the feeble-mindedness of a human being, that they cannot see somebody come up. They cannot see somebody succeed. They'd rather just, no, they're not. I'd rather not. I'd rather not recommend. I'd rather not give young people a chance. I'd rather not let the next generation, you know, of people come up. This is not just in one industry or another industry. This even happens within the work of deen. Even within the work of deen. You have somebody giving talks and khutbahs and lectures, and somebody comes to them and says, what do you think of this other sheikh? I would be a little careful. Because he sees that if I recommend the other one, I will lose some audience. I'm getting a lot of customers here. And so you'll have entire, you know, in the Muslim world, and here included, you have people dedicated. Their only job is to unrecommend somebody else. That's all they do. That's all their job is. Because they're like, don't go there. Don't go here. Don't go there. Or overly recommend and overly glorify somebody else. This is also shafa'a sayyi'ah. This is also shafa'a hasana. This is something very, very common in our society. But now I want to get to the ayah itself, now that I've defined some of these things for you. What are the consequences of this? When you do good shafa'a, when you actually recommend someone who's supposed to be recommended, when you actually prevent people from a harm that was headed their way. That's, by the way, the other piece that I didn't mention. If you know, you should have said something to avoid harm to a community, then you should say something. That's also shafa'a hasana. You know, there are cases where, you know, they recommend, they're asking, this masjid is asking, should we hire this construction company for our masjid? And this construction company already overcharged somebody else. They already ran the other masjid almost into bankruptcy. Then the people from that masjid, we don't want to say too much, but I think you should keep looking. You should keep looking. This is a public responsibility. That's also a shafa'a hasana. Sometimes not recommending someone, putting, you know, in respectful language, is also part of our civic responsibility, part of our duty.
right? But it has to be done in very careful ways. You don't want to be one to accuse someone or put someone down without proper evidence. So unless you have first-hand evidence against somebody, and you know that, you know, that if they go and agree to this contract or this marriage or whatever else, that there's going to be some serious harm, then you should remain silent. Until you don't know for sure yourself with first-hand information, it's better for you not to say anything. Now, what are the consequences? If you and I become people that can actually make good recommendations, we can be principled, and you know, we can hold on to these principles and make the right kinds of recommendations at the right time. What happens? Allah says, يَكُنْ لَهُ نَصِيبٌ مِّنْهَا. He's going to have, I translated it as the word portion. Nasib, I translate it as portion. But there are two words in this ayah for portion. There's nasib and kifl. And both of them are translated in the English translation as portion. But Allah Azza wa Jal decided one of them should be nasib and the other one should be kifl. So I'm going to dig a little bit deeper with you to just illustrate what does this word nasib mean. Al-hadlu min kulli shay'in. It actually means a portion of all things. For example, if you recommended somebody for a job and you gave a good recommendation, they deserve the recommendation and they got that job. Now that they get that job, everything good that happens in their life thereafter that they're grateful to Allah for, you have a portion in it. This person got married because they got a job, you have a share. This person had children because they got a job, you have a share. This person was able to help their parents get out of debt, you have a share. This person was able to go to Hajj, you have a share. This person gave sadaqah in Ramadan, you have a share. They are doing things and you have no idea what they're doing. You just recommended them for a job this one time. And so much of the good that came as a result of that one recommendation, you are earning wealth with Allah. That is your nasib with Allah. Al-hadhu min kulli shay. A portion from all things. Then you know, interestingly enough, I found out that in the Arabic language, al-nasib bima'na al-hawd fi sahara. Nasib comes in the Arabic language in the meaning of a reservoir of water in the middle of the desert. Like in the desert, if somebody's traveling, they're going to run out of water. And so they're desperately trying to find what? You know, they're trying to find a nasib. And a lot of times when you think it's water and you get there, it's a sarab, right? It's the mirage of water, but it's not really water itself. So what the Arabs used to do to help each other is they actually used to put large rocks. They're actually called nasib too, large rocks. And that's why the word ansab is used in the Quran for rocks on which animals are slaughtered. Because you have to have a large rock, they put the animal on it, and then they slaughter the animal, right? That's ansab. But the large rocks were used to let the traveler in the desert know there's water nearby. In other words, you're in the journey, all you see is sand in front of you, you're going to travel enough and you see a rock and it gives you hope. That gives you hope. What Allah is giving us as an indication perhaps in this ayah is that when you help somebody out, Allah will put opportunities in your future. Allah will put not just good in them, and not just, you know, khair for you in the akhirah, good for you in your next life, but in your life, because you made a good recommendation, other good things are going to start happening to you. You're going to reach milestones in your life that otherwise you would have not reached. You think you were helping someone else. What Allah is teaching you and me here is you're actually helping yourself. You're actually helping yourself. There's one day is going to come, you're going to be looking for a business partner. You're going to be looking for a job. You're going to be looking for entrance into university. You're going to be looking for marriage. You're going to be looking for somebody for your children. And those doors will be wider open for you because you helped somebody else in the past. Allah will open up that nasib for you. It's incredible that now we have to realize, if you go back to what I told you in the beginning, in Surah An-Nisa, Allah talks about people who are in need, who are otherwise helpless. And some people who are looking for these things, they're looking for opportunities to open up, they depend on the recommendations of others. Otherwise they can't get their rizq. They can't move on with their life. And so Allah is telling us that actually all of you, you and I, we're the ones in need, in fact. You just helped somebody, but actually the only one you helped was yourself. But on the other side, if you do make bad recommendations, you don't like somebody, that's why you didn't allow them to take a job. You can't stand this person, so you spoke ill about them so they could lose their job. You know, sometimes you have people that have short tempers, right? They go to a restaurant, the server comes and, you know, serves 2 minutes late, and they look at their face, this guy. You don't realize, man, this poor man or this woman's been working there 16 hours now. They were 2 minutes late, and you go to the manager, by the way, You have a very unqualified staff. This person was a whole 120 seconds late. This is unacceptable. And you have this out for this poor guy. And this person, this man or this woman is going to lose their job because of your dumb recommendation. Because of your complaint. Because you couldn't control your temper. You just ruined somebody's livelihood. You ruined somebody's, like, their children were depending on this. You know, and you're so entitled, you don't even realize the damage that you're doing. It's like small things we do every day that become shafa'a sayyi'ah. Small things. And then we do them in big matters too. We do them towards each other too. And so what's the consequence of this? He says, يَكُلْ لَهُ كِفْلٌ مِّنْهَا. The other word is used, kifl. Kifl, instead of looking forward to something that's coming ahead of you, like the rock that leads to water, kifl in Arabic originally is الْكِسَاءُ يُجْعَلُ تَحْتَ الرِّحْلِ. It's actually the piece of cloth that is wrapped around the hump of a camel so the rider can ride on top of it. Kifl is also used for the piece of cloth that, you know, back then they didn't have suitcases. So if they were traveling and they were traveling with their stuff, they would wrap it up in a cloth. And they would drag it behind them. They would either drag it behind them or hang it on the back of the camel. This is also actually called a kifl. Something that drags behind you. Something that doesn't let you go. It's like luggage that you have to carry. Allah is suggesting, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and akfala, by the way, dhammana, guarantee. The word kifl also means, or like a kafil is a guarantor. The word kafala comes with guarantees. Something will guaranteed come to you. When you make bad recommendations, it's like you put this luggage on your back that ain't gonna let you go. You're gonna pay the price for it in this life. This burden is gonna be there, and you're going to pay the price for it, and you'll be held responsible for it. Al-mithl al-mutasawi, some say. Al-kifl bima'na al-mithl al-mutasawi. Something that is the equivalent. The same kind of damage you did will be done to you. The same kind of damage. And the thing is, we don't realize the damage we do. We don't realize the damage we do. And then when it is done to us, we say, where is this coming from? Why am I experiencing all this damage? All you and I have to do is just guard our tongue just a little bit. Guard, even sometimes it's not even about our tongue. Sometimes it's the way you make your face. Somebody says, what do you think about Abdul Karim? I'm not saying anything. When you say, I'm not saying anything, you've said more than enough. You've said way more than enough. You know? What can I say? You know? You'll see the damage of that in your life. Protect yourself from doing this against yourself. But what I find the most fascinating about this incredible, incredible ayah, subhanallah, is what happens at the end of this ayah. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقِيتًا. Allah has always been muqit over all things. The word muqit in the Arabic language comes from the word qut. Qut. And some pronounce it qit as well. مَا يُمْسِكُ الرَّمَقَ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ. Qut is actually used for food that you took as you were dying of starvation, and that one bite saved you from starvation. That one bite kept your breath going. And had you not had that one bite, you would have died. Actually, aqata in Arabic is to save someone from the edge of death. To survive, help someone survive from the edge of death. The same way, iqtata, the ifti'al form of the verb, actually means somebody living right on the edge. Like they just have enough to survive. They just have enough to survive. Allah's name in the ayah is Muqit. Allah's name is Muqit. Which means Allah keeps everyone surviving. And everything surviving. Allah gives you just enough. If you think you're not going to survive, He will be the one that empowers you. He'll be the one, and that's why they say al-muhafiz, wa-shahid, wa-mu'til qudra. These are the meanings of muqid. The one who safeguards, the one who watches over, and the one who grants you capability. The one who grants you, the one who empowers you, basically, is Allah. Why is Allah saying that, subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the end of this ayah? You know, if you're on the receiving end of a recommendation, if people are giving bad recommendations to you, everybody's talking bad about you, or there's some group of people who just have it out against you, and all they do is talk ill of you, any chance they get, and you're thinking that as a result, your career is gonna suffer, your business is gonna suffer, your social standing is gonna suffer, your family is gonna suffer, right? Your place in the community is gonna suffer. You're even thinking, maybe I should move from here because people are saying these terrible things. You know, I'm not going to be able to get a job anywhere with these people saying these kinds of things. At the end of it all, Allah says, good shafa'a or bad shafa'a is not going to do a thing. it's not going to do a thing. At the end of the day, the one who keeps you from starving is Allah. At the end of the day, the one who put food in your mouth is Allah. So when somebody can say bad things about you and good things about you, actually the only harm or good they are doing is to themselves, actually. That's the only thing. And the only one who can do harm or good, the only one who can challenge your own survival and put your survival in jeopardy is Allah. And He's muqeet, He's going to keep on giving. So don't become so depressed when you don't get the recommendation. Don't become so overwhelmed that, oh, people didn't say good things about me. People didn't give me a good review. Or I asked them and they didn't agree. Or I've heard people are actually unrecommending me or saying bad things about me. You know, so a young man says, I was hoping that they would say a good word, and this has actually happened. That in cases that I know, some young man says that I want to get married, and he approaches the family. And they say, well, we'll ask references, right? So they ask his roommate. And the roommate is like, first-hand account, roommate's always dirty. The roommate is always dirty. He's always not making rent payments. He's always leaving a mess behind. He's always complaining. He's always watching movies. He's always making the noise. He's always keeping the other guy up. And the guy who cleans everything up, and the guy who gets up and makes salah at Fajr at the masjid, the guy who does everything right, he's the one wanting to get married. And they go and ask the roommate, and the roommate says, actually, he's a horrible human being. I would, if I was my daughter, I'd get a restraining order. You know? I think you should save yourself. This is shafa'a sayyi'ah. This is, and now this man's depressed. I'll never get married. Look at what the damage that's been done. Look at what's been said. I didn't deserve this. I didn't deserve that should be said about me. What have I ever done to harm this person? You know, jealousy can make people do crazy things. Low self-esteem can make people do weird, weird things. They don't even, well, I don't know, I just said it. Yeah, so what? You know? Well, that one time you didn't give me the cake you were eating. Petty people. Petty people. When people have no good in them, then all they look around is what damage can they do? They look around, that's all they're looking for. Some people, that's what they become. How can they hurt somebody else? That's the only time they feel powerful. The only time they feel like they've accomplished something is using their mouth, they've done somebody harm. Or using their mouth, they've blocked somebody's path to good. Don't become from those people. Because you cannot stop the plan of Allah to provide rizq to somebody else. You and I can't. And you try and get in its way, the burden of it only falls upon yourself, it falls upon myself. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us a people of shafa'a hasana. And at the end of the day, may Allah Azza wa Jal make us worthy of the shafa'a of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Day of Judgment. May Allah Azza wa Jal forgive us for the bad shafa'a that we've done in the past. And may Allah Azza wa Jal also make us of those who, if they have made mistakes with their shafa'a, go back and rectify those mistakes. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyaakum bil ayati wa dhikri al-Hakim. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على أفضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. يقول الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. عباد الله رحمكم الله اتقوا الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا.